As anyone knows who hosts parties and gatherings, no matter how inviting the rest of the house may be, the people always end up in the kitchen. Kitchens form the true hearth of most American homes, the place where families and friends convene to share not just nourishment, but laughter, even tears, and camaraderie. But today, in 2024 America, kitchens have become a place of anxiety and stress. Why?
Well, that's Steve Cortez speaking on a documentary that you can see on his X account. I also just retweeted it from mine at Annie Fry Show. And we're very grateful to have Steve Cortez on with us right now. He is the founder of League of American Workers, amworkers.com. He's also a former Trump campaign operative. Steve, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here. There you go.
Spreading the word about my documentary.
I'm sorry I didn't have you up there on the beginning of that comment there after I welcomed you on. So thanks again.
No problem. Thank you for having me. And thanks for spreading the word about my documentary on grocery prices and pain at the grocery store.
I think that it seems like there's all of this conversation around this election. And then at the end of the conversation, it's like, who's going to help you with your grocery bill? It's kind of like at the end of the day, the thing that really, really supersedes all of the other stuff where you have billions of dollars being paid to distract you from that. Why did you decide to put this documentary together to focus on the issue of affordability of groceries for everyday Americans?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, Annie, is that, of course, corporate media just ignores this issue because I think they realize how potent it is, right? This literal kitchen table reality, not just metaphorical, but kitchen table reality that American families are facing, where just paying for the staples of life, not the luxuries, the staples of life, has become a source of tremendous anxiety. So that's one reason is I wanted to give a platform to this incredibly important issue. But then the other reason, to your point, is, and this is why sequentially, I actually did six similar documentaries. The reason I chose to hold this one for last is I believe it's the most compelling argument, for particularly for people who maybe aren't terribly political or terribly ideological. In other words, most people who are highly into politics, probably most of your audience, long ago decided who they're going to vote for. Yep. And the same on the political left, right? People, let's say, for whom abortion is their number one, two, and three issue, they long ago decided who they're going to vote for. As a matter of fact, those folks, whether on the right or the left, have probably already voted.
That's
it's not
possible.
Just decided, but cast their vote. Mm. However, for a lot of people who aren't intensely political, pocketbook issues tend to be the number one driver. And so that's why I think whatever they think of Donald Trump, whatever they think of Kamala Harris, if they're people who may not call themselves MAGA, may not ever, you know, call themselves, describe themselves as America first, but they are experiencing this literal pain, this financial pain at the grocery store and the anxiety of feeding their families, I believe this is the most compelling closing argument to get them to say, you know what, I may not love Trump. I may not know that much about Kamala Harris. However, things have to change because the status quo is simply not okay. It's not affordable. It's not right in a country that should be a place of plenty and lately has become a place of angst, of economic angst. Mm.
Steve Cortez with us right now, talking about especially this important economic issue that faces American voters right now as we are going to the polls in Missouri and Illinois both. Early voting is open. You're encouraged to go early and get that done, get it taken care of. When I listen to Kamala Harris talk about groceries, she talks about price gouging. She puts it on the big scary corporations and says that they need to get in line. What do you say to people who agree with her and say, you know, it's not Kamala Harris's or Joe Biden's fault that this is happening? It's big business.
Yeah, no, listen, it is 100% Kamala, and I'm no fan of big business, by the way, but it's 100% Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's fault, along with their other cronies like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and some establishment Republicans, who allowed them to borrow and spend at absolutely exorbitant levels, forcing up inflation for everything. It's, of course, not just food. People know this. Everything in their lives has gotten more important. So the difference with food is, of course, you don't have a choice whether or not to eat. But like, let's just take the example of energy. Energy prices are incredibly important to food, not just because food needs to be transported, okay? It doesn't get there by magic, but also to grow food. Fertilizers are largely petroleum-based. And but that's also part of what motivated me, Annie, to do this documentary is I profile a farmer, a grocer, and then a very concerned mom. So I sort of went along the food chain from producing the food to selling it to consuming it and showed that at all those levels, there's no price gouging going on. The farmer's being squeezed, the grocer's being squeezed, and certainly the consumer is having a super hard time. So she completely misses the mark. She's making up a ridiculous propaganda excuse. It's not about price gouging. It is about the inflationary policies of Bidenomics, which she fully owns. It's about Kamala Harris's record of punishing working class people during her entire tenure in office and then trying to pretend that she's a new way forward. No, she's the status quo. And when it comes to food prices, the status quo is punishing. And Americans know that. And I believe, again, I would encourage folks in your audience, again, many of whom are probably already convinced, probably already voted for Trump or even have voted for Trump. But for the people in their lives who are persuadable or who are leaning to vote but may not vote, I believe this is the most compelling argument you can use to get them motivated, to get them off the couch, to get them to the polls, and hopefully to the polls early. That would be my other exhortation for the patriots out there.
The website is amworkers.com, and Steve Cortez is the League of American Workers founder. You're also a former Trump campaign operative, and I'm thinking right now about, just to your point, and knowing our audience right here, we have motivated people. If you're listening, you know who you're voting for, and you probably have casted your vote or aren't got a plan to do so. Do you think that there are people out there right now who don't know if they're going to vote for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, or is the persuasion right now, if you can't stomach the other, you do need to show up and vote for Donald Trump?
Right.
And this is why. Talk to me about Donald Trump's ability to get these grocery prices back down, to focus on the middle class worker, the mom, the family that's trying to not just make it, we're trying to thrive. Does Donald Trump put us in the position to do that?
Yeah, you know, I believe he absolutely does. And that's why, again, I think you can convince voters who wouldn't consider themselves to be MAGA, maybe have problems with Trump and some of his style. But their life was far better when Trump was in office, and they're willing to admit that if they're being honest with themselves. A lot of those people who are perhaps on the fence or just leaning Trump's way, they can be motivated in these final days. I'll tell you this actually surprised me. I do a lot of polling. Just polled the state of Georgia, where I show Trump up one, so a tight race, but leaning Trump's way. I believe he's going to win Georgia. But I was surprised by this, Annie. 17% of Georgians said they are persuadable at this point. They are just purely haven't decided, or they're only leaning. So, I mean, that's a big percentage in a swing state like that who say that they can still be persuaded. I took this poll just a few days ago. I'm polling Pennsylvania right now for my last poll. We'll see what kind of number I get on that same metric there. But I think there are people who will make that decision who maybe don't love the two choices. Again, I'm not in this camp. I'm enthusiastically behind Donald Trump, and I want to return to that prosperity, to a secure border, and the prosperity that we had under Donald Trump. But for people in your life who maybe aren't enthusiastic but can be persuaded, again, I believe that focusing on those kitchen table realities, focusing on what was your life like when Trump was president, when we asked that question as well, that key better off question, in all of the battleground states, consistently, we're getting a 2-to-1 margin in favor of Trump. It's almost always 60-30 with about 10% unknown, but 60% saying my life was better when Trump was president, I was better off, 30% saying they're better off with Kamala Harris, who tend to be super hardcore Democrats who we just can't win over no matter what. So I think focusing on those issues is the most effective way into this final week. If I would add one caveat to that, it would also be that Kamala Harris is simply untrustworthy. You know, most Americans don't know still that much about her because this campaign has been so abbreviated, right? Because of what the Democrats pulled off, because of the palace coup that they pulled off. So a lot of people, if you're not really into politics, you don't know that much about Kamala Harris. But what I think people can discern rather quickly is that she's not genuine, that there's a total inauthenticity to her. And even for critics of Donald Trump, I think they have to admit this is one authentic man, you know, sometimes to a fault. But he is one authentic guy who doesn't speak in a lawyerly and scripted manner. The opposite with her. I think her inauthenticity is part of what's driving this race toward Trump in these final yards, if you will, if we're going to score the touchdown.
Steve Cortez speaking with us right now. Since I have you on with me, and I definitely want to encourage people to go to X. You can go at Annie Fry Show. If you already follow me, and you can see I've retweeted this video, you need to go watch this documentary and consider sharing it as a persuadable tool, just something for people to consider if they are in that undecided camp. But you've worked with Donald Trump. You've campaigned with Donald Trump. You were former Trump campaign operative. And you're seeing a lot of these bottom of the ninth inning reports that are coming out, the Kelly reports about Donald Trump wants generals like Hitler, and now we're getting the fascist accusations once again. It is one of the most repeated lines that I get in our community here on this show through social media reactions, and they're all talking about all of the people who worked with Donald Trump in the first administration early on. They've all turned their back on Donald Trump, and they really put a lot of credibility into these individuals who are now coming out and saying, I mean, like, that Trump loves Hitler. That's what they're actually saying right now. You've been in this community. What do you know about Donald Trump then? What do you know about the people who are out speaking in this way about then Donald Trump and Donald Trump now, the candidate in 2024?
Well, Annie, I'm so glad you asked me about this because I really believe it. I don't say this in a haughty way, but I think I'm a perfect person to answer this because I opposed Donald Trump in the primary in 2023. I went to work for Ron DeSantis. So nobody can accuse me of just being blindly loyal to Trump as much as I admire him, okay? But so I think I have some credibility on this issue. And let me tell you, as someone who's been with Donald Trump a lot in private, in the Oval Office without cameras, as well as, you know, in the public realm, the Trump off camera is the exact same authentic Trump that you see on camera. He is not a different person. And these accusations are ludicrous. John Kelly is somebody who I used to have a lot of respect for. He and I worked a lot on immigration issues, especially when he was chief of staff. I certainly honor his military service, but this just does not in any sense pass the smell test. The fact that he claims he has had this knowledge for 5 years now and 2 weeks before the election conveniently decides that he's going to spill the tea on Donald Trump just makes no sense. It's not credible in the least. And to this Hitler accusation, by the way, I think it's important for people to have context, especially, you know, listen, I'm a middle-aged guy, especially for younger people. Please realize that the Democrats have done this to Republicans, called them Hitler, for decades in this country, including some of the most moderate, milquetoast Republicans you could think of. People like Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney, believe it or not, were accused of being fascist and being Hitler. So this is just a tired default of the left when they're out of arguments is call us racist, call us bigots, call us Hitler. It's ludicrous. It's offensive, but if we do take any pleasure in it, it's wrong that it happens in this country, but if there's any silver lining to that cloud, it is that it shows their desperation. I really, truly believe that. But regarding these turncoats, I don't believe any of them. And again, I say this as somebody who worked hard for Donald Trump, who briefly tried to take him on in the primary with Ron DeSantis. Of course, didn't work. I'm now back working to get Trump elected again. But I hope I have some authority and some credibility on that issue, you know, given my own personal background.
You completely do, especially certainly with me. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Steve Cortez. Why were these individuals so willing to work in the Trump administration and to work with Donald Trump then? And now, why are they so opposed or afraid of him reaching the Oval Office once again?
Yeah, that's the other issue that's so important. If they had any honor or integrity, and if these events actually happened as described, they had an obligation to the American people to leave immediately, right, to quit, and to divulge to the American people what they supposedly knew. And this is true of, you know, of a number of these turncoat folks, many of whom have now found cushy gigs, giving lucrative speeches or lucrative gigs on cable news as contributors. If the stories they tell are true, then they had an obligation to reveal them as soon as possible. And why would they possibly continue to work for a president if they thought that poorly of him? So I think, unfortunately, it's Washington intrigue at its absolute worst. Didn't expect to see it from General Kelly. You know, it's a shame that we have, but again, it does not. I think any reasonable person will say this does not pass the credibility test that you would hold on to this information and release it in October before election season. And I will tell you from my own experience with Donald Trump, nothing of the kind ever. I mean, nothing ever was objectionable said around me from him. In fact, quite the opposite, particularly when it comes to the military. This is a man who loves the American military. And I would also add, because that other ludicrous story about him, you know, supposedly disparaging a dead Mexican soldier, nothing but respect for Hispanic Americans, because it's something we talked about quite a lot. And that's true on camera as well as away from the microphones.
Just to make sure I understood you clearly there, are you saying that it's profitable and lucrative for these people to accuse Donald Trump of these things?
Quite, unfortunately, yes.
I think we followed the money, haven't we?
Yep.
Well, you know
what,
Steve Cortez, you've worked with Donald Trump in the same capacity that these leftists love to see ex-Trump campaign or Trump administration workers. They put all the stock in the world in what they have to say, so I'd imagine that they'd have to give you the same faith and confidence as well. I certainly do on this show, Steve. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on with us once again.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you again. We appreciate you. Steve Cortez, he is, we did interview him when he was working for the DeSantis campaign. If you've listened to the show for any time, you know I'm a huge Ron DeSantis fan. And it was never difficult for me to support Ron DeSantis without not supporting Donald Trump. It's an easy thing to do. There's no litmus test here. Kamala Harris wants to continue to destroy our country with far left progressive ideals. She doesn't love the America that I love. She wants it to be something differently. And she's picking up the mantle of she's picking up the mantle of Barack Obama, who promised and delivered in 2008 to fundamentally transform the United States of America. He started it and he's working to continue it. I'm not even sure it's finishing it because I don't know how long he can go. And if we, you know, rely on what we've heard people say, as we do so desperately when we watch the left-wing agenda-driven media rely on something that Donald Trump said in 1972 on a sunny Sunday afternoon, it's like, oh, we heard him say this. Witnesses say, we have seen with our own eyes Barack Obama sit down with reputable, at the time at least, network reporters and talk about how his ideal third term would be where he gets to call the shots with a front man. And now we're looking for a front woman. The fundamental transformation of the United States continues with Kamala Harris. Or you can choose to make America great once again and head it back in the correct direction. You can vote for Donald Trump. Very interesting conversation with Steve Cortez, who worked very closely with Donald Trump and continues to work to get him elected. And going back to that documentary that you can see at Annie Fry Show on Twitter, or just go directly to Steve Cortez's X account at Cortez Steve. That's Cortez with an S. You can see that documentary, watch it, it's 18 quick minutes, and maybe use it to influence somebody who might be a little bit on the fence. It's just good sense to think about your grocery bill and how you can save. Let's take a quick break, get Ryan Wiggins back in studio next. Don't go away.